In 1911, the Durst family built a cabin in the Black Hills. They were loggers in the area and picked a beautiful spot in a meadow along Flynn Creek. 8 years later, Custer State Park was born. Its boundaries soon wrapped around the vintage cabin with its dark wood walls, screened-in porch, and outhouse. But the Durst cabin is still in the family. They own the building and use it as a private gathering place, but they do not own any of the land. Lloyd Marsden is a great-grandson of the original owners. He says seven generations have ties to the place.
Ashes of several of those people have been spread here, so it goes a long way back, and there's a chance to connect with those earlier generations.
The Durst family isn't the only one with a private connection to public land in the Black Hills. For about 50 years, Custer State Park and the Black Hills National Forest invited people to build cabins. The goal was to attract more visitors and increase support for public lands. Hundreds of cabins went up, and 200 remain, about 35 in Custer State Park, and almost 160 across the million-acre Black Hills National Forest. When the program ended in the 1960s, existing cabins were allowed to stay. Cabin owners pay an annual lease ranging from about $400 to $2,000. They can't live in the cabins full-time. They're not allowed to rent them out, and they have to get approval for any repairs and renovations. Some cabins are far off the beaten path at the end of rutted two-track trails. Many are small and rustic, with plain brown exteriors. Some lack plumbing, running water, and cell phone service. Families pass the cabins down through generations, but occasionally they come up for sale. Brad and Connie McKinney saw a classified ad for a cabin in the Black Hills nearly 30 years ago. Brad says Connie needed convincing.
There's some trepidation on Connie's part that with two kids in diapers and no running water and an outhouse and such that maybe it wasn't the smartest thing to do. But I was maybe the pusher of that decision, and I think you came to appreciate
that. I thank him all the time. Literally, I say, I am so glad you didn't let me moan and groan. I was worried, you know, I was just going back to work and juggling lots of things in my life, and I thought, wow, I don't know, but oh my goodness, it was the best decision that we ever made.
The McKinney family calls their cabin visits French Creek time. They've hiked and explored the park, fished and waded in the creek, and snowshoed the area in the winter. One of their kids got married at the cabin. The King family has similar stories. Their Custer State Park cabin dates to the 1930s. It's been in Don's family since the 50s. Stephanie shows off the cabin's forest green walls, stout stone fireplace, and hand-hewn table and chairs.
What is not to like about being here? It is peaceful. It's just somewhere that, I don't know, it just is good to your soul. I don't know, it sounds a little out there, but it just is.
But the future is not clear for these cabins. The Custer State Park leases all expire in 9 years. The Kings, the McKinneys, the Durst descendants, and all the other cabin owners in the park could be evicted. Don and Stephanie King have mixed emotions about that.
You know, we made every infrastructure improvement, knowing that
we were fully aware.
It was short term. I mean, we've had it since 01, I think. So we've been here for 19 years, and we have another 9 years left with our family. That's a long time, you know. And so it's been well worth it. We don't begrudge it at all.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree, but anyways.
Cabins on Black Hills National Forest land appear to have a longer future. They were built as part of a nationwide Forest Service program. There are 14,000 private cabins in national forests around the country. The owners have a national association. The Forest Service leases run for 20 years and include many of the same provisions as the state leases. People own the building, not the land, and need permission to make changes to their cabins. Mary Smirka is restoring one of the old forest cabins. It sits above a creek in an otherwise dead silent pocket of wilderness.
Isn't this just wonderful? Who could be as lucky as this?
It's just plain grand.
Smirka was working as a hospital lab tech when she bought the cabin.
And you need a break. You need a place that's so different and so uplifting, really, and the natural surroundings are helpful. It helps you recuperate from that job, and I highly recommend it to any medical workers if they want it. Get out, get away, get outside, and see that the world is different than what you're having to deal with.
Now she's retired and spends hours reading and relaxing here. Not everyone can own a wilderness cabin, but the rest of us can enjoy a private cabin in a public forest. The Episcopal Diocese of South Dakota built Camp Remington as a clergy retreat in the 1920s. The three cabins are closed this summer during the pandemic, but otherwise they're available to rent for $35 a night. The cabins are covered by a Forest Service lease. They have many of the same traits as privately owned cabins, like no running water and no electricity. Key Parker is one of the caretakers. He says it's the perfect place for some people.
The solitude and the peacefulness is what they enjoy, because you can't hear cars going by on a highway. The only traffic is the occasional cabin owner coming up and down this road here, and it's just real peaceful sitting out here, and you can relax like no place else.
Leases on national forest cabins all expire in 2028. According to the Forest Service, they're all on track to be renewed as long as leaseholders honor the program requirements. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper in Rapid City.